Welcome to Puritans Read, where we read aloud great Puritan works, authors, and biographies. Today, episode 33 of A New Year's Gift by John Schauer. It may likewise be advisable to examine and record the workings of your own spirit under such dispensations. What thoughts had you then of God? What acts of faith, love, and thankfulness you did then manifest? What evidences of God's favor and what discovery of your own sincerity you have had at such times? When and how and by what means you were cured of your uncomfortable unbelief and raised from your despondency? What promises you had recourse to for relief? What considerations were most helpful to you? What frame of spirit you kept up in prayer before and after? What resolutions and engagements you made to God to love and trust and praise and serve Him and give up all to His dispose for the future? And what consequent obligation may be inferred from thence to acquiesce in the will of God and resign ourselves entirely to Him, saying, "This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide unto death." The Appendix. From what time the Jews reckoned the beginning of their year, of the difference between their sacred and civil account, the Feast of Trumpets on the first day of the year, its institution, nature, and design, the traditions and customs of the Jews respecting that day. Upon the deliverance of the Jews out of Egypt, the first month, which began with the new moon, next to the vernal equinox, was to be accounted the beginning of months. It answers to the latter end of our March and the beginning of April, and is sometimes called Nisan and sometimes Abib. It was ordinarily, after that deliverance, reckoned the first month of the year in their sacred or ecclesiastical account. The computation of years till then, from the creation of the world, was from Tisri, or September, as the beginning of years. But now they are commanded to begin their reckoning from March. Therefore, the Passover kept in this month is said to be observed in the first month. And the Feast of Purim, which was kept in our February, is said to be in the last month, that is, of the sacred year. A period so remarkable and extraordinary as that was to the Jews deserved very well to be particularly remembered and taken notice of, and might justly be accounted the first or chiefest of their months. And by comparing Exodus 12:41 with Galatians 3:17, it may be concluded that Abraham received the promise on the 15th day of this month. And 'tis computed that about the same time of the year Isaac was born, and the tabernacle afterwards erected in the wilderness. As the redemption of Israel from their bondage in Egypt was but a type of a more glorious one by the Messiah, he was pleased to suffer death in this month, John 18:28. According to this computation, the month Tisri, which began with the first new moon next to the autumnal equinox, is often called the seventh month, but was not so accounted before the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. As to civil and political affairs, it was for the most part reckoned the first month of the year, on this account in this month Tisri, which answers to part of our September and part of our October. On the 15th day of the month was the Feast of Tabernacles, when the fruits of the earth were gathered in, and is said to be in the end of the year. Much hath been said by many learned men for the date of the world's creation and the beginning of the year from the vernal equinox or the spring. And the Egyptians are alleged as keeping the great festival of Aries, or of the new year, when the sun enters into Aries. But however uncertain that be, and difficult to determine it yet. The Jews reckon to have been in autumn, the creating of the world, the birth of the first patriarchs, the reparation of the tables of the law, the dedication of the temple, the three great solemn feasts of the beginning of the year, and other remarkable passages. As many religious assemblies and solemn feasts were appointed of God to the Jews in this month, Tisri, as in all the year besides. That the birth and baptism of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, should be at this time of the Feast of Tabernacles is as considerable as that his passion should be about the time of the Jewish Passover. He was sacrificed for us at that time, when by God's appointment the Paschal Lamb was to be offered as his type. And at the Feast of Tabernacles he came to pitch his tent in our nature, to tabernacle in our flesh, and dwell among us. The scepter was so far gone from Judah that the Jews were compelled by a foreign power, instead of observing the Feast of Tabernacles at Jerusalem, everyone to repair to his own city to be taxed, as the Emperor Augustus had commanded. And 'tis not very likely he would appoint that in the depth of winter, the time of our Christmas. And now was the season for Shiloh to appear. The 81st Psalm, composed by Asaph, for the first day of the month, or the Feast of Trumpets, is supposed to have been in remembrance of that deliverance out of Egypt. The sounding of trumpets being a token of liberty. This Feast of Trumpets on the first day of the new year, according to their civil account, is thus commanded. Leviticus 23:24, Numbers 29:2, and 10:10, that it should be a Sabbath and a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation, etc. Some think it is called a memorial of trumpets to preserve the memory of Isaac's deliverance by the substitution of a ram to be sacrificed in his stead. To this purpose, it may be alleged that it is sometimes called by the Jews the binding of Isaac, which they suppose to have been in the same day of the year, by others termed Festum Cornu, the Feast of the Horn. But it is more probable that this name was not given with any respect to Isaac, but on the account of that kind of trumpets which were then sounded, viz., such as were made of sheep or ram's horns. Others think it may have been appointed as a grateful remembrance of former victories which God had afforded them, particularly that at Jericho, where was the first opposition they met with in their passage to Canaan, and the walls of the city fell down at the sound of such horn trumpets, Joshua 6:13-20. But the most likely account of it is this, that it was intended to solemnize the beginning of the new year, to remind them of the beginning of the world, and to excite their thankfulness for the fruits and blessings and benefits of the year preceding. The extraordinary blowing of trumpets by the priests at that time in all their cities, as well as at Jerusalem, where two silver trumpets were also used at the temple, as well as these of horn, and the Levites sung the 81st Psalm, might serve both to stir up the people to bless God for the favors of the years past, acknowledging his goodness in preserving them to the beginning of another, and withal excite them to pray for his protection and blessing for the new year on which they now entered. Maimonides, the famous Jewish rabbi, thinks the sounding of trumpets at this time was designed to signify some such exhortation as this: Arise, O ye sleepers, out of your sleep, and you that slumber, awake out of your slumbering. Search your works, and turn by repentance. Remember your Creator, you that have forgotten the truth, and have exchanged it for the vanities of the world, and have all your lives wandered after vanity, which will not profit or deliver you. Consider your souls, consider your ways and works, and let every one of you forsake his evil way and his thoughts that are not good. This concludes episode 33 of A New Year's Gift by John Schauer.